But let me see if there are some questions about your testimony to this point, if you will permit. Are there questions from Dr. Leifer?
Yes. How were you first brought into contact with a psychiatrist?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Zum ersten Mal bin ich.
I first had contact with psychiatrists in 1942-43 through Dr. Winkelmeier after this business with the instructor.
Do you believe the instructor brought the psychiatrist in to see you? Who brought the psychiatrist in?
No, this instructor was arrested and charged, and he ended up in a concentration camp as well. It was the director of the residential home that asked the psychiatrist to come.
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah, Jakob Mabe.
I have a question that I'd like to ask. One thing that struck me when you were talking is that you described Mr. Gross as a fool. You're against people being described as fools or as idiots, and yet you described him as one. When did I say fool? I have to say I don't remember him saying fool as well. I certainly don't remember calling him as a fool. I thought you said you had met for the first time in your life a fool. But maybe you didn't say that and I misunderstood the German. Perhaps that's not what you wanted to express. No, I did not. I have to admit, as the interpreter, I didn't hear the word fool either.
The psychiatric, the Nazi imprisonment, what happened after you were freed, and something about your life since then?
I managed to get out of the psychiatric ward with the help of a young nurse, a female nurse. She helped me escape. And this is probably because of the research that I've done now. This was because of a decree of Heinrich Himmler's, who decreed that in the psychiatric wards, labor force that was even remotely usable should be killed through work. They should be made to work themselves to death. And in my medical history, there's a statement by Mr. Gross on the 21st of March, 1944, it said he will be picked up by the police today. But he should have been picked up by the police today, but he managed to succeed. So it seems I was supposed to be sent to a youth slave labor camp.
Did you have any conversations with the psychiatrist? Did they try to find out evidence for the sexual interaction you supposedly have with the instructor? Or did they try to find? Did you have any?
No, the psychiatrist just asked me whether it happened, or there were some other questions that I don't remember in detail. And then I was sent away. And Dr. Hamukta and the director of the residential home said that I was going to a sort of hospital to treat my sickness, and that's why I was sent to this hospital.
Mr. Vatz.
I'm Richard Vatz, University in Maryland in the United States. I have a complicated question, if I may. If there is a completely corrupt regime and the teachers in that regime manifest the corruption of the total regime, do you then say that the teaching profession is particularly corrupt in that regime?
Ich weiß nicht, ob mein Wissen dazu ausreicht.
I don't know if I'm the right person to answer that question.
The question goes this issue. If you have a completely corrupt regime, and psychiatry is completely corrupt within that regime, is that a problem of psychiatry, or is that a problem of the regime?
Ich glaube,
I think both. For 36 years later, I met Dr. Gross. He didn't recognize me. Of course, I recognized him. And during the discussion, a court in Vienna, I told the court in Vienna that I know him and that there was terrible pressure on me, he said that there were statements, and other psychiatrists confirmed these, that other psychiatrists came and gave other statements, and that everything that I had said against Gross was completely invented. And I ended up with being charged myself. That was in 1999. I was just getting to it in the translation, sorry.
So, problems from the incarceration have stayed with you right to the present moment. Is that correct?
Das kann man genauso sagen.
Yes, you can say that exactly as you've put it. Because until 1999, the Austrian government finally saw the children from Spielgrund as victims of the Nazi period. And our victims' pension was also based on a more recent psychiatric evaluation. And on the 5th of February 2000, I again had to meet a psychiatrist, and he had a huge pile of files in front of him. He spoke into a microphone, and I was so horrified at that time, because the first words that he said into his microphone were the first sentences from the report from Dr. Ealing. This man has 200 charges of human rights abuse and mistreatment of children. And in 1946, this happened in Vienna, and yet his files, his reports are still considered valid today. So today, then a psychiatrist spoke into his dictaphone and said, the young man is biologically inferior and comes from a sociologically inferior family. And he read all of these things that Ealing had written maybe 57 years before, monstrous neglect in school and all of these other things that they'd written. But I would just like to say that I said to the psychiatrist, you apparently don't know where these files are from, but they're still being used. Until the year 2000, these reports from the Nazi time were still being used.
Thank you very much. Are there other questions from the audience? Thank you. I'm sorry, Kate Millard.
From what you say, you know, we often get the impression that the psychiatry under the Nazi era was a kind of aberration, that it was the part of a corrupt military government, and that psychiatry is actually very different, and that the Nazi psychiatrists are not representative, and that this was a terrible error that took place that might give this helping profession a bad name. And yet everything you say gives a consistency to psychiatry that is amazing, that not only they kept their records, they still found them valid, and that they still actually use the same language, express the same attitudes, and that there is one long thread of connection and consistency in this treatment of human beings.
Nein. Ich stimme Ihnen mit Sicherheit.
I agree with you, naturally, because I think the forensic psychiatry or the court psychiatry is very much the same, because when I wrote to the Austrian judiciary minister and said, do you know who Dr. Gross is? I wrote to him saying who he was. You have to imagine that this man has written out 238 death certificates and has written the wrong thing on it. But despite this, the Republic of Austria has still continued to allow him to work.
Are there other questions? Yes. Maybe to the microphone. I can't hear you. Okay.
Sorry, it's no good. I can't hear her unless she speaks into the microphone. The interpreters cannot hear you. The interpreters.
And please tell us who you are, if you like.
Is my name. I would like to know how the psychiatrist justified using these Nazi files again. Why was he reading these Nazi files again? You must have asked him why he was reading it 1 year ago. He must have said something to this, no?
Bitte können Sie das noch einmal wiederholen?
Could you please repeat the question? I would like to know how this psychiatrist could read these Nazi papers 1 year ago. You must have asked him why, what possessed him to read through these papers again. Yes. As a child, I met this Dr. Gross, and he treated me very badly. And 32 years later, I met him again. He didn't recognize me. But with his expressions, the things that he said, he got worse and worse until it came to the point when I asked whether or not he's a doctor or a public prosecutor. And he said, you can do what you like. You just have to make sure you're on the right side. And I said, I was too weak to put myself on the right side now, but some people did it. And I'm sure that you have done far worse things than I ever have. And I made it quite clear to him. And he said to me, and I quote, "Have you ever had psychiatric treatment?" And I said, "For an academic, you have a very bad memory. I certainly can remember it. You must remember your colleague, Ealing, Ekelius, Hoopsch, Jockel, and all of these psychiatrists. You can't have forgotten them. And you won't have forgotten Pavillon 15 or Pavillon 17. And these were moments of terror for him. And he said, "You were there?" And I said, "Well, who do you think standing in front of you?" And he said, "Well, why hadn't I said anything for such a long time about this time?" And I said, "I had no need to. And I wanted to never, ever speak about the Spielgrund again." And then his family to be defamed as well. But then I thought it's necessary to take the mask off this psychiatrist. It wasn't really revenge, it was just, I felt it was necessary to do this.
Thank you. Are there other questions? With many thanks for your testimony, the accusation now calls Waltrud Haupel.